morning, Hiztab. How are we this morning? Good morning, Hiztab. How are we this morning? This one thing I know for sure, that God is great and He is greatly to be praised. Amen. I said God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. So come on, let's get ready. Before we even get started, I want you to turn your heart, turn your mind, turn everything that's inside of you upon the one who has set you free this morning. Father, we come into your house this morning. We come into your house this morning to give you glory, to give you honor, to praise you, because you are the one. You are the one who sacrificed your son so that we could have life. We could have it more and more abundantly. So for today, God, upon today, we bless you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Hallelujah, yeah. You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're taking me deeper. You're making me whole. With grace you redeem me. You make my soul. Come on, sing. Now I'm great, yeah, because of sin. You hold my head up. You remind me who I am. Sing. You hold my head up. I'm alive. Oh, we gotta sing it again. You hold my head up. Yes, you do, yeah. I'm brand new. You're making me stronger. You're healing my heart. With your hands you hold me. You set me apart. Now I'm brand new. Because of you. Oh, you hold my head up. Yes, you do.
Because of
His blood,
You hold my hand.
Yes, you do. You remind me.
Remind me who I am.
Oh,
hold my hand.
Yeah.
I'm alive.
Sing it again.
You hold. You hold my head.
You remind me who I am.
You hold my head. I'm alive in you again.
Here we go. You are.
You are my salvation.
Come on, I'm not gonna.
I will not fear.
You're the strength. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. I said, would you, oh evil, a victory? It needs to be won. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power. There's wonder-working power in the blood. Oh, I'm blaming you. Power, power, there's one working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing verse 1. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Would you, oh evil, victory with? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, there's wonder working power in the blood. Oh, I believe.
There is power, power, there's wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's high. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. There's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. lost in this life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Oh, of the Lamb. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing that verse again, I said, wouldn't you be wider, much wider than throne? There's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Sin's chains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Oh, blood. There is power, power, there's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the city. Yeah, I said there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Oh, blood. There is power, power, there's wonder-working power in the precious blood. Oh, one more time, I said there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Oh, blood. There is power, power, there's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious, in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Well, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing us through your blood. Yeah. is the flow. Oh, it makes me clean. There is no other. There's nothing, nothing but the blood. Oh, we gotta see it again. I said, oh, it's the blood. Come on, it makes me white. There's no. No, cause it's not bad. So this is all my hope and peace. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is all my righteousness. It's nothing but the blood. Jesus. Oh, come on. He's the flow. Yes, it makes me white. There's no other found. I know it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, sing, oh. Makes me white. There's no other, no other fount. I know it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Decreeing this morning that there is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, come on, you better shout some praise this morning. You better shout some glory down this morning. You better bless God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Because our God reigns. Yeah, come on, come on. Oh, our God reigns. Ooh, our God reigns. Ooh, our God reigns. Forever your kingdom reigns. You know, you can turn on any news channel. Any news channel, any time, any day, because we seem to need 24-hour news. And the news wants to tell you that everybody else reigns but my God. I got to tell you this morning that without a shadow of a doubt, with no question in my mind, I know that our God reigns. Today, we don't serve a dead God, we serve a living God.
There are many other gods out there that people serve. One thing I learned in Bible school, I think there are 280 plus million gods they serve in the country of India. One might be a rock. One might be a tree. They have other gods with other religions. Shintoism, they actually serve the land. That is their god, their actual property. We have Muhammad, who's dead and in the grave. We can go through the list of all the gods all over the world. But there's one. His name is Jesus. And he's no longer dead, but he rose again on the third day. He's a supernatural God. He is a risen Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Our God is good. Can I hear an amen? I said, our God is good. Can I hear an amen? And he reigns in our life. Praise the Lord. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks and say, my God reigns. Sandy, do it in Spanish and see what they say.
Step One, Rock Solid Faith, happens every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, and every Thursday night. You want to make sure you sign up. You can go online, histabernacle.com. You can click on Next Steps, sign up, register, or you can just show up to class. Make sure you sign up today for Next Steps.
Vision for you. He and she is the mouthpiece of God.
One sent with definite authority, definite mission.
I want to give a shout out to Rosalind Jeter. I know she usually comes to second service, but they held the Black History Month celebration last evening down in Elmira, and you and I were invited. And they actually gave His Tabernacle Family Church an award, recognition award, for all the work that we've been doing down in Elmira. So we just want to say thank you to all of those who were in charge of that. Pastor Jahera was over that. What a great honor to be recognized in our community. You know, it's one thing, you know, we do things, but it's another thing to be recognized. That means other people are recognizing. And it's a great testimony that God is not dead and that the church is not dead. Amen? We want to welcome all of our guests here this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We know going to a church for the very first time usually is a little stressful, a little, you're not sure what to expect, you're not sure what to do. We want you to know that we encourage you to come three times. Everybody shout three. If you're a guest, if someone's near you, you don't know them, listen, actually, don't do that. Because we've had people turn around and say three times and they've been coming for 6 years. Don't do that. That just means you got to get around, get to know some folk. But three times, we encourage you three times because the first time's a little bit like, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? The second time is, oh, it's not too bad. The third time is, I can never go back to the quiet church again. So we want to encourage you to come at least three times to the house of God. You'll enjoy yourself. If you're a guest, we have free gift for you. We want to bless you this morning. We're not going to make you stand up, do weird things, calisthenics or nothing. But we do want to give you a gift, and that is a His Tabernacle mug and some information so that you know who we are and that we truly care and love you. Pastor Daniel Dykes, where is he this morning? He is, there he is, right over there. He is such a powerful man of God and his team. They love you. We love you. They'll be in contact with you. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, did not receive a packet but would like one, just raise your hand up real quick. Somebody's going to come right to you. I see hands up there in the back. Very good. No, you guys. Oh, right there in front of you. There you go. Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming. Did you come all the way from Andover? Yep, thank you for coming. Over an hour and 15 minutes away. Praise the Lord. We have guests over on this side as well. Hallelujah. Over on that side. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else that's a guest in the house? Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being here. We want to also welcome our live stream family. Last week, you know, we've had a lot of folks that have struggled with sickness in their families and stuff. Last week, are you ready? Between 300 and 400 people were online last week, all across the world, across the nation, and right in town. Now, if you're watching online, you're in town, we want to encourage you to come to the house. The anointing is much stronger. It's okay on TV. It's okay on live stream, but it's much better in the house. We have folks that live 2 hours away, 3 hours away, that this is their home church. And we just want you to know we love you. Thank you for being part of our family. Can we give our online family a hand clap this morning? Amen. My dear Rhonda, enjoy your time.
the windows of heaven being opened to you in that, in your tithing. So seed time and harvest, it's not going to pass away. We can depend on it just like we can depend on gravity. It is a spiritual law. So if you're ready to make your supernatural declaration and give, stand to your feet. Deuteronomy 28, it's the word of God. We'll repeat this blessing from the word of God. And it says,
if I obey, then
I am blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I don't know if I believe you guys this morning. Let's start that over again. Deuteronomy 28 says,
if I obey, then
I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket.
I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. It's a spiritual law, just like gravity. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button, give right along with us, or you can text to give.
To get rid of. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're excited. In just a few weeks is the Empowering Pastors Conference. And we just want to say how excited we are that, again, at His Tabernacle, we're putting this on. Why are we doing that? Because there are pastors out there that are struggling. In fact, I just got a call the other day from Kentucky, and they're bringing 9 ministers with them, all the way from Kentucky. I was local last night, and as I said earlier, and all of the pastors that were there are all coming to the conference. So we're believing God not only to touch afar, but to touch near. Amen? We have pastors that come in from New York, of course, and from Massachusetts, and we're believing God this year. Some Rhode Island folks come in, and it's exciting to see how God will change and encourage and strengthen. This year's theme is on divine blueprints. and how Dr. David Ireland is preaching the first night. Oh my goodness, if you've never heard Dr. David Ireland, you have missed it. He is phenomenal. Pastors a church of 7,000 in New Jersey, and he is just brilliant. He is world renowned for his ministry, and we're excited to have him right here in Horseheads, New York. Amen. Also, Bishop Rick Thomas will be here. Some of you have struggled with your finances, and you need a supernatural miracle. This is the night you want to be. On Wednesday, you want to be in the house. Why? Because Bishop Rick is going to be teaching. It's not just for pastors, but all leaders and really anybody who's really wanting some more word. Great time to learn, and it's just going to be awesome. So what we do is we make it inexpensive for the pastors, and I don't know if you'd know that. Most conferences for a pastor is about $249 to up to $500 for each one to register, and then more for their spouses and et cetera, for their staff. We make it $99 for the pastor, $49 for the pastor's wife, and then Pastor Rhonda takes the pastor's wives out, and we give the money back to them. They get nails done and hair done, and pastor's wives need to feel special too, amen? And so then we make it so inexpensive for their staff where it's only $49. We do that because of you, because you are sowers and you are investing in the lives of not just the pastors, but every pastor you touch their entire congregation and their city. Amen? So I want to remind you, as the ushers, I believe they're going to be ready with some offering envelopes, and in the back, seed envelopes. In the back, we're not going to take a separate offering this morning, but there'll always be a bucket in the back. Last week, almost $1,000 came in for this conference. It's right around $20,000 for this conference. So I want to challenge you to sow. And you know that when you sow, especially into a pastor's lives, it will change the entire region. So I know somebody can just simply in this room write a check. Why don't you just write a check? We'll get it over with, and we'll just call it done. Amen? And for anybody else, million is M-I-L-L-I-O-N. Amen? And billion is B-I-L-L-I-O-N. And so it's amazing. You know, I used to, many, many years ago when I was young, I would look on the congregation and you would presume who God had blessed. But after reading the book called The Millionaire Next Door, you realize that you can't look at anybody and judge a book by its cover. Amen? There are people that God has blessed over the years, and their whole goal is to continue to build the kingdom of God. So if you're here, this is a great time to sow. The ushers, I think they already went through. If you would like one of the envelopes, raise your hands, and the ushers will just run right to you, and the offering plate will be in the back after the service. Now, this morning, we'd like to chat.
Generations out of you, the world's gonna say, I wanna be like that, I wanna look like that, I wanna reflect that. And when that happens, you're gonna say, well, you can.
Spiritually, you might be that man, but spiritually, there's a new creation that's been formed, waiting to arrive.
When you're scared to invite someone to church, you procrastinate. When you procrastinate, you worry that it might be too late. When you worry that it might be too late, you resort to desperate measures. When you resort to desperate measures, you end up on the 6 o'clock news and become ostracized by your entire community. When you become ostracized by your entire community, you're forced to relocate to Possum Neck, Mississippi, and change your name to Skeeter. Don't relocate to Possum Neck, Mississippi, and change your name to Skeeter. Invite someone to church.
Remain long. If you open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. This is the year of... Boy, you're quiet this morning. I said, this is the year of... Generosity. And that is exactly what we're dealing with. What is generosity? Giving more than is expected and even or needed. And God is a generous God. Amen? I said, God is a generous God. Now, the Bible makes a declaration. Our verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The verse I want to show us this morning is one we all know. We can all quote it. Why don't we do it together? John 3:16. Everybody shout it out loud. For God so loved the world. Wow, you guys did awesome. Turn to someone and say, you're good. Amen. Today I want to preach on the generous blood. You see, we are not in a religion. Turn to someone and say, we're not in a religion. Many people don't realize we don't have membership at this church. And the reason we don't have membership is because you can't be a member of the kingdom of God. You can only be a citizen. You can be a member of the body of Christ, but you're a citizen of heaven because heaven is a nation. It is the kingdom of God. And in the nation of God, there are principles that God has applied. Now, remember, last year we preached about the keys of the kingdom and certain keys that are important for us to grab a hold of and to use to open up heaven's blessings in our life. How many of you want heaven's blessings in your life? I said, how many of you want heaven's blessings in your life? Amen. Well, the heaven's blessings don't just happen. It's not like an apple falling out of the tree on Isaac Newton's head. Amen? We've been given keys to the kingdom that open up the principles of eternal life. Now, I want to remind you that eternal life is not you and I getting to heaven. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within us. The moment we're born again, we are eternal. Well, actually, we're eternal even before we're born again. Because if you're not born again, you're eternally lost. But if you are born again, you're eternally saved. You see, we are eternal beings in the kingdom of God, and each one of us need to learn how to unlock God's blessing in our life. And the one thing that we all got to grab a hold of real quick, it's a simple message, but one of the most powerful messages that the kingdom of God preaches, and that is there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I said there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of churches that are no longer preaching about the blood. They won't preach about the blood because it sounds a little gory. They won't talk about the blood because they don't want to offend anybody. But I'm here to tell you, without the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was massacred on that tree, then you and I could not stand here washed and free, justified by faith, knowing that if Christ came today, we'd be with him for all of eternity. You see, today, the blood is a pinnacle principle in God's word that we got to lay hold of. For without the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. The blood is so powerful because it puts us in principles of success in God's kingdom. You see, when we understand the truth of the blood, then the devil is easily defeated. You see, the devil understands what the blood meant. He understood that when the blood was shed on that tree and it trickled down that old cavity of wood and it mingled with the dirt at the base. You see, other men looked at that and said, well, I guess he's dying. Well, I guess he's bleeding. But the devil knew what that meant, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. You see, the enemy knew that if the son came, the blood would be shed. And if the blood was shed, then guess what would happen to him? Defeat. You see, today we stand here in absolute victory because of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is not some fairy tale or nice little cliche we use in the church. I love the blood. Why? Because the devil starts to fear when you start singing about the blood. The devil realizes he's defeated when you start applying the blood. When you release the blood of the Lamb, there is no way that he can stand, because that alone is the declaration that he's already lost. Come on, tell somebody, he's already lost. I love the fact of breaking the back of the devil. You know, we teach the worship team, and one of the things we teach them is that when it seems like it's hard breaking through in worship, start singing blood songs. Why? Because if there's a demonic entity or a demonic spirits that are trying to hold back or break down, what happens is when you start singing about the blood, they are already being declared to. It's almost like getting on a megaphone and saying, loser! You've already lost. You know you've lost. Step back. I love the fact that you can apply the blood in your life. Amen? That the blood is a hedge of protection in your life. You see, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than just you and I getting saved. But let me tell you, that's where it all begins. You see, in the old covenant, we know that the blood, the generous blood of Jesus, was not yet shed. In the old covenant, after Adam and Eve sinned, they were killing animals. You see, the very first animal that died because of sin. There was no animal that died before sin. You remember how they were clothed. Remember, God killed an animal and clothed them. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And that blood of that animal, those skins of the animal, covered their nakedness. Up to that point, they were innocent. They didn't know they were naked. They felt clean and pure. But you see, a conscience is touched when sin comes into being. When we sin, our conscience should be touched. It means we should feel conviction of the Holy Spirit. We should know that we are wrong. And we know that even if you do not read the Bible, that the Bible says his law is written on your heart. You see, sin is the reason that we need blood. Where there was no sin, there was no need for the shedding of blood. In the old covenant, the blood covered the sin, but did not wash the sins away. But God had a plan. I love God's plans. How about you? I love that God loves us so much. For God so loved the world that he gave. The generosity that our Father has in his giving. Let me tell you, there's one thing to give your second best. Remember, used to doing can drives in our last church. And I had to make an announcement. Don't bring dented cans. Or mystery cans. Because people love bringing mystery cans. What's a mystery can? It's a can with no label. You got to open it up and you always find lima beans. I don't know how the lima beans get in that can. But that's what you find in there is lima beans. Dear Lord. Mystery beans are lima beans. And then you get cans that are dented that weep a little bit. You know, you eat that, you're dead. You can't give second best to get the best harvest. You can't go out and just give what you can. You've got to give your best. You know, we have a mentality in the church today that says, well, I'll just give what I can. You don't just give what you can. You give your best. There's an old song, and they sang it last night. It's called We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise. But you see, the church world has misunderstood what that means. It doesn't mean I give what I got left over. I'll give because I can't give any better. No, you give your best. Every sacrifice had to be without spot or blemish. Every sacrifice had to be the very best that you had. And it might not be what somebody else has, but it's the best that you have. Every sacrifice demands the best. Can I hear an amen? The Father so loved you and I, the Father so desperately needs and wants you and I, that with his generous blood, he gave his very best, the Son of the King. He said, here he goes. He's going to go down. He's going to give up all of his heavenly glory and become like a man. He's going to walk on this earth and feel the same temptations as we went over in Luke chapter 4 last week. He's gonna overcome them. Why? Because if the first Adam brought death, the second Adam can bring life. And who's the second Adam? He is the greatest sacrifice that God could give. And the sacrifice was not just that he gave his son, but that his son had to give his life. In today's world, giving our life has very little thought. I remember one time I was talking to the staff, and I said to the staff, I said, you know, would you be willing to die for the vision? And Pastor Banfield raised his hand and said something to me. He said, you guys don't know what it means to die for something. He was in the war. He saw death. He participated. And the truth is that many of us don't realize the cost of death. Many times in my prayer life, I sit down and I ask Jesus, Jesus, I need a revelation that only you can give me of literally what it was in cost that you paid for my sins to be washed away. What I should have been judged for, what I should have paid for myself, you, Jesus, were sent by the Father because of love. But Jesus, you had to love us too, so much so that you were willing to die a horrific death, a declaration that you care for us. For love is not words, but love is action. And all of a sudden, we find that the Messiah gave his blood. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, Jesus did not sin. He did not sin. Everything that he died for, we put on him. He bore our sicknesses and our sins. That means willingly, he said, listen, I did nothing wrong, but I'm willing to get the death penalty so that they can live. Now, in today's world, that is not real often. But in truth, that is exactly what Jesus did for us. This blood that he shed, we talk about it, and you know, I've given the description time and time again over the years, especially near the Easter season. You know where Jesus, and you've seen the movie, I'm sure, but you know where Jesus was literally beat to a pulp. I mean, it wasn't that, you know, the crucifix, and I'm not, because we have one out in the foyer, I'm not denouncing it, but the crucifix shows trickles of blood of Jesus. But that's not what happened at all. That's not the reality of the crucifixion. The crucifixion was a horrific, bloody, a bath. It was first founded by the Assyrians, and the Romans saw that it was such a powerful, one of the most literally, the most horrific thing that you could do to a human to torture them. The Romans took it into their own practice. And here Jesus, he was not just mocked. He was just not beaten, his beard ripped out of his face. He was just not spit upon. He was just not mocked. He was just not beaten to where you could see his bowels from the outside. He wasn't just hung on a cross to where literally 5 to 7 inch spikes held him in the air, and the only way that he could exhale was to push up literally on the spikes that were going through his heels, or he would have asphyxiated right there on the cross. His eyeballs became like sandpaper. His tongue began to swell. At any moment, the Messiah could have called out to the Father, and God would have sent, he would have sent angels to deliver the Son of God off of that tree. But Jesus, I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the generous blood of my Messiah, that my Jesus loved me, that while I was still a sinner, he said, I'll die for you. Even when you don't care about me, I still love you. Even when you're in rebellion against me, I still love you. And my blood doesn't dry up after the first confession. My blood is generous and continues to flow. It is never ceasing. It is never stopping. And those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, all who dwell on earth will worship him whose name have not been written, whose name have not been written in the Lamb, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. You see, even those who today, they say, I don't believe in God, even those today who reject the blood of Jesus will one day bow their knee, for every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That sacrifice was not a cheap sacrifice. It's not one that is just thrown away and cast aside. It is not some religious writ that somehow just seems to touch a few, but the blood of Christ is for every human being on this planet. For without Jesus in your life, without the blood washing you of your sin, you cannot be with God in heaven. You cannot walk with heaven. You cannot be in the eternity with Jesus Christ, but you'll be cast aside into the lake of fire where you'll burn for all of eternity. With Lucifer himself, it wasn't created for you, but when you deny the blood of the Messiah, it's saying, don't worry, Jesus, I'll pay my own price. The rejection of the blood is so powerful because it is saying, Christ, I will pay my own price. I'm man enough. I'm woman enough. I'll do whatever. Listen, I don't care what happens to me. I'll pay my own penalty, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I hear an amen? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory. You see, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Salvation is saving us from ourselves. The blood is so powerful because it literally changes us. It is a supernatural action. It is not just that you've come. Oh, I was at a church one time down in Dallas, and I was getting ready to do the altar call, and the pastor interrupted me and said, hold on, I got something to say first. And she stood up and she said, does anybody here want to be a member of the church? Two or three people raised their hands, wanted to be members of the church. They came up, they did the little ceremony. And I said, Pastor, I got one more thing. She said, go ahead, preacher. I said, is there anybody here want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? And not one hand went up. They were more excited about membership in the church. But I'm telling you today, if you go to church and you don't know Jesus, you're not going to heaven. You can go to church all you want. You can be part of any religious sect you want. You can be part of any religion and denomination you want. But unless the blood is applied, there is no way that you'll see God face to face. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It is the name of Jesus. Every one of us have sinned. You know, it's always interesting is people have been saved a long time, forget how much they sinned. Can't forget where you came from. You can't dwell in the past, but you can't forget how much Jesus had to apply blood to your life. Well, Pastor, you know, I was brought up in a Christian home, and, you know, I went to Christian school, and I went to a Christian college, and I married a Christian wife, and I have Christian children. You're still a sinner. And without the blood of Jesus, you're not going to heaven. There is no other way to heaven but by the generous outpouring of Jesus' blood in our lives. And the only way to receive the blood is to confess, I need you, Jesus. I ask you to become the Lord and Savior. I surrender my life. I'm not interested in a religion. I'm interested in knowing you. I want to walk and talk with what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. I want to know you. I don't just want to know about you. I want a relationship with you, Jesus. And the only way that comes is through the powerful blood of forgiveness through Christ Jesus our Lord. These verses I'm about to read about forgiveness are found in the Amplified Version. In Jesus we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance to the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now at this very moment in Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away from God have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 26, 28 says this, "For this is the blood of the new and better covenant, which ratifies the agreement and being poured out," I love that, "and being poured out for many as substitutionary atonement for the forgiveness of sins." 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. I can't read enough of these verses. Why? Because they declare the reason I have a right to stand before my God boldly. They declare that without the shedding of blood, I can't be saved. You see, I don't know about you. It's time to get back to the blood. Can I hear an amen? It's time to say, God, I thank you for the blood. Can I hear an amen? It's time to start declaring the blood over our lives. For it's the blood of Jesus that made us free from sin. It's the blood of Jesus that destroys the enemy. It's the blood of Jesus that is applied that gives you divine protection. The blood is the best thing you got beside your relationship with the Lord. Can I hear an amen? For now you have been not redeemed from your useless, spiritual, unproductive way of life inherited by traditions from your forefathers with perishable things like silver and gold. But you were actually purchased with the precious blood that is of a sacrificial lamb, unblemished and spotless, the priceless blood of Christ. You see, today the gospel is bloody. It is bloody. You see, when the Father sees us, he doesn't see us with our sin. As we are born again, if after we confess the Lord, the way we can go before the throne of God boldly is because we're literally standing in the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, you and I could never go into the Holy of Holies. In the Old Covenant, one man went in once a year. The high priest, with a blood sacrifice. They would tie a rope around his ankle. He would wear a long outfit, a long garment, with bells surrounding the base of it. The man would go in for what? To give blood for the sins of the people of Israel. He was standing on behalf of the children of Israel. He would walk in, and if there was any sin in his life, the Bible says that he would be struck dead because he was in the presence of a holy God. Sometimes we forget that our God is holy. Sometimes we forget that he's not our buddy, but he's holy. Can I hear an amen? Our God is perfect. Our God is holy. Our God is separated. No sin can be in his presence. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, that when he sees us, he sees the blood of the Lord. And when he sees the blood, he passes over us. Can I hear an amen? I thank God for the blood of the Messiah. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Without it, we'd be lost. You see, forgiveness has so much power in it. Why? It means redeemed. I got to ask, how many of you actually take your cans back and redeem them? There are some folks. How many do not? Do you know you pay 5 cents? Six? We pay 6 cents? Dear Lord. I didn't realize 6 cents. I'm going to start redeeming them. 6 cents per can or bottle. And you know something? You pay for that. You give them 6 cents. And if you don't bring that back, you cannot redeem that. You see, salvation, forgiveness, is about redemption. Christ buying us back. Once lost in sin, but Jesus saw us, loves us, calls us, redeems us. For those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, this is not about religion, not about a gospel that's filled with just what denomination do you go to? What church do you go to? But this is about you and I being washed in the precious, generous blood of Jesus that makes us new men and new women. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am not the same person. I have been changed. It is a supernatural divine act of God, of heaven being released in my life. I am no longer the same person. I love the word atonement. That's another one. That word atonement means at-one-ment. I know I was getting real deep there, wasn't I? What does that mean? Like nothing ever happened. Ooh, that's a powerful word. Like nothing ever happened. You see, some of us, all of us, because of sinners, there are things we'd never love to never, ever, ever hear again. There's stuff we'd love to forget. There's stuff we never want brought up. There's stuff we'd love to hide, bury to the deepest treasure and throw it into the deepest ocean. Can I hear an amen? But the Bible says when you've been born again, you have been what? Been brought under the atonement. It's like it's never happened. Before God, you have never sinned. Before God, you have never committed a trespass. Before God, you have never done anything wrong because you have been bought back by the precious, generous blood of Jesus Christ. And now God sees you as a brand new baby. He sees you in newness of life. All those things are gone. Now, I'm not saying there won't be consequences. A lot of people decide to repent after they got caught. We call it the Jimmy Swaggart syndrome. Jimmy Swaggart got caught. That's why he repented online. Then he got caught again. He repented online again. Not condemning the man, but that is exactly what happened. Now, listen. I believe without any question, if you're quick to repent, God will cover your sin. If you're quick to repent, God will cover your sin. For love covers a multitude of sins. But when you won't repent, God loves you enough to reveal your sin, to save you from yourself. You see, sometimes we forget that sin is a consequential situation. There are consequences to sin. There are some times we sin and there are no consequences. There are other times we sin and there are consequences that will follow us the rest of our lives. I remember one time we had a situation in our last church where a young lady got pregnant out of wedlock. And she was serving at that church. And she said to us, she said, "Pastor, what do I do?" And I said, "Honey, I don't know what to do, but all I know is this, is that I know you've repented, but there are still consequences to that sin. You got a baby inside. Not that the baby's bad, but the fact is that that life changed forever. Life changes when we play with sin." Because we do not have immediate retribution, many times we think we've gotten away with sin. But just because you do not see an immediate retribution does not mean that there is not a consequence. That is the mercy of God. And I don't know about you, how many of you love mercy? That wasn't too encouraging. I said, how many of you love mercy? Amen. How many of you should already be a fry daddy? Amen. But the mercies of God. But the fact is that even with mercy, there's sin, and sin has consequences. You see, the greatest way to escape a consequence is to not sin. The greatest way to escape a consequence is to not sin. The greatest way to escape a consequence is to not sin. Amen. Now we love David. Can I hear an amen? King David. King David was a great man of God. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He slayed Goliath, glory to be to Jesus, anointed to be king over all of Israel. But David one day, as he's a king of Israel, walked out on his stoop, looked down, and there's a chick sunbathing naked. Hubba, hubba, hubba. He looked down, he said, "Oh, baby, she's hot." He looked at his guy and said, "Go get that woman for me." And his man said, no, that's somebody else's, that's Uriah's wife. Well, Uriah's busy at the war. Bring her on. Bathsheba enters his bed. impregnates her, realizes that's not a good thing, decides that he's going to kill Uriah. Actually, the first thought was, let's just trick him. Now listen, man, this is a man after God's own heart. He said, let's trick him. Let's get him home from the war, have him sleep with his wife and think he got her pregnant. He gets Uriah home. He goes and he says, because my men are at war, I'm going to sleep out here on the stoop. I shouldn't be having sex with my wife if my men are putting their life in jeopardy. That kind of messed up David's plans, didn't it? So now I want you to see something. Sin creates a snowball effect of sinning. You don't ever sin once. If you don't immediately repent and get away from that sin, you'll start seeing yourself start the snowball in your life. And all of a sudden, since Uriah wouldn't sleep with his wife, the only way for David to take care of this was what? Well, I'm going to send down a little message to my main captain. I'm going to put him in the front of the line, and I'm going to have him executed. I'm going to put him where I know he'll get killed in the heat of battle. Ultimately, he murdered him. So here's a man after God's own heart who's messed up. Can anybody say amen? Can anybody just simply say, oh my? Can anybody say, that's me? Don't say it. The consequence was the death of the baby. There's a consequence to sin. But let me tell you today, I thank God for Jesus. Can I hear you? I thank God that Jesus loves me. I thank God that even in my mess, he's reaching out to me. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that in the midst of my sin, that if I call upon the name of the Lord and I start pleading the blood, even the sin will lose its power in my life. I can stand free in Jesus' name. I don't need to be delved and lived in sin, but I can be free and free indeed. There was a man one day who owed a humongous debt. He owed $60,000 to his creditors. He had that. He had $35,000 just in credit card debt. And he and his boss, man, they were great friends. And his boss and him, you know, even though he was his boss, they had a relationship as friendship. And his boss saw how he was struggling, saw the stress in his life, saw his body starting to break down. And one day, he just paid it all off. Now, I don't know how he got the records. Some people got skills. But he got all the guys, he got the guy's debt report. You know, he got the guy's credit report with the list of all the ones that were there in his life. And his boss, his friend, calls him into the office and he says, man, you know, I just want you to see this. And he handed him the stack of debt. And the guy said, yeah, I know. As he's flipping through the pages, yeah, I know. I caused all this debt. I'm the one who did this to my family. I'm the one who did this to my life. I'm the one who put myself in bondage. I'm the one who paid. I messed up. And his boss said, yeah, but you're missing the front page. He flipped back to the front page, and on the front page it said, paid in full. You see, you and I deserve every one of those pages of debt. How many times have you sinned? How many times have you rejected God, even after you confessed him as your Savior? How many times have you chosen to sin? But I got news for you. When you call upon the blood of Jesus, the generous blood of our Jesus, the blood of the power of God will wash every stain, will wash every sin, and he'll make you brand new. You'll never be the same again. You see, the blood washes you perfectly clean. John Wesley, many of you don't know him, an evangelist in the 1700s. He's returning home from a service one night, and on his way home, he got mugged. Now, he didn't have a lot on him, but the robber took what he could. And he's walking away after mugging John Wesley. You shouldn't mug an anointed preacher. He's walking away, and John Wesley says, hey, sir. Can I tell you something? He said, yeah, stop. I have something to give you. And the robber was surprised and paused. He said, my friend, said Wesley, You may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, there's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The thief hurried up and got away from John Wesley. And Wesley declared, "May the fruit of my mouth, don't let your words return void." Years later, he was out preaching. And a man walked up to him and said, "I know you don't know who I am, but I was your mugger." And he said, "That just kept ringing through my spirit. And I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm serving him." And he was a successful businessman, and God blessed him. You see, the blood of Jesus, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've encountered, no matter what sin you've pondered, no matter where you have been, Jesus Christ loves you so much that if you confess, he'll wash you clean, make you new. It's the generous gift of the generous blood of our Lord Jesus. You have never gone too far. You have never gone too far. You have never gone too far. Nothing but the blood of Jesus will wash away our sin. And when you call on him, he promises to be right there. Now you see, some of you say, "I heard that message 10,000 times. Apply it again." Because sometimes you forget it's not just what you get, it's what you're supposed to give away. As freely as you've received, freely give. How many of you paid for the blood? "Well, you know, in my church, it's $260 to become a member." You didn't pay for any blood for $260. Jesus is not cheap. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The blood of Jesus, Christ's grace, is not cheap. It cost the Father everything he had, and it cost Jesus everything that he had. And you and I need to know this. You can play with that grace. You can play with that blood. But, baby, not one of us in this room know when our last breath is going to be. Can I hear an amen or oh my? How many of you know a child that has died? Everybody in the room's hands going up somewhere. Everybody knows of at least one child that died. How many of you know of a teenager that died? How many of you know of a 20-year-old that has died? How many of you know a 30-year-old that's died? 40-year-old that's died? "Well, you know, when they're 100, you expect them to die." What do you mean? My grandmother lived to 101, and she just wanted to go home. All she wanted was a letter from the president saying she was 100. My question to every single one of us is, we don't know when our time is. We don't know when our last breath is. Why are we playing with the blood? The generous blood of Jesus is nothing to be played or toyed with. It literally is the cost of you and I being made free so we can be in eternity with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without the blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. There is no buyback. There is no atonement. We've got to call on his name. We've got to live in the blood. We've got to bathe in the blood. We've got to get doses of the blood. We've got to get covered with the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you start living in the blood, your life changes. You'll find favor where there was no favor. You'll find protection when there was no protection. Man, I know, who was that, Rhonda Jean, who was driving in a car and they got sideswiped and the car went right through their car invisibly. It was a preacher we know. Man, was it Brother Ted telling us a story? Man, that car, they literally saw the car go through their car and never touch them. How is that possible? Well, if you live in the natural and that's the only place you live, then you got problems. But when you live in the supernatural and when you got born again, the kingdom that you participate is with the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom is not natural. God's kingdom is supernatural. The natural world has to bend to the supernatural world. The natural world has to submit to the supernatural world. Our God is King of kings and Lord of lords. And the blood, when you apply it to your life, you are now a citizen of the Most High King. And you have the rights as a citizen to step in and live in the supernatural. You see, I love the fact that we have a generous blood bath that we have available. And my question to each one of us is, the blood minuscule in your life to where you just, Jesus, come in my life and it really doesn't matter how I live? Is it just, well, you know, I don't really want to join that church, or, you know, that church is this or this church is that, or you can join any church you want, you still go to hell. I know preachers going to hell. They don't have a relationship with God. They're just, they got a vocation. This isn't a vocation, this is a call. Jesus said to every one of us, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. This is not about becoming religious. This is about knowing God. And the only way to know God is to be blood washed. The only way to go to heaven is to be blood washed. The only way for protection is to be blood washed. I'm here to tell you today that the blood of Jesus is generous and free, and those who call upon him, my Messiah, Christ, will show up in your life. Today, I just could not talk about the generous blood of Jesus. I love, man, you'll never get more of a quick Holy Ghost release in your life when you start talking about the blood. I love talking about the blood of Jesus. I love singing the blood songs. There's an old one Brother Ted sings. The blood, the blood, the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, my Jesus died on that cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, my Jesus died on that cross. I know it was the blood for me. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Come on, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, my Jesus died on that cross. I know it was the blood for me. Now, come on now. It's not hard to have a dancing time now. I want to say this. If the blood no longer stirs you, stirs your spirit, then you need to get back to the tree. You need to get back to the cross and get washed all over again. Because the blood is the base of every one of our walks with God. And thank God for the blood. Some of you right now, as we sing that song one more time, there's power in the blood. Some of you are going to get healed right in your seat. How do I know that? Because the blood will be released in this place. I know some of you are going to be free from bondages you've had for years. If you'll release the blood in your life right now, God will release the miracle working power of God. Amen? Are you ready? I said, are you ready? There's power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious. Come on, sing it one more time. Sing with all you got. Release the blood. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Hallelujah. I'd like all to bow your head. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can come to this church till you're dead, and it won't matter. You need the blood of Jesus. Today, if you do not have the blood of Jesus applied to your life, I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm not asking you to join tradition. I'm not asking you to join a church. I want you to have the blood applied to wash your sins away. And so today, if you do not know Jesus and you want him as your Savior, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm going to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4. Thank you very much on that side, young man. Thank you. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you very much, young man. I appreciate it. All the way from Andover. Going to be changed today forever. You can put your hand back down. 4, 3. Get your hand up. 2. Last call. And 1. Father, I thank you for the blood. I thank you that today we stand here redeemed, bought back. God, we've been ransomed. God, I thank you that today it's as if we have never sinned once. And Lord, I thank you that we have the right to come before your throne. Thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. And we declare freedom in Jesus' name for the glory of God. No sickness, no disease. God, no wounding, no maiming. God, we declare in Jesus' name, no addictions. God, we declare in Jesus' name, God, no afflictions. We declare, God, that sin will be destroyed in our lives by the power of the blood of Christ in Jesus' name. And everybody receiving said... I said, everybody receiving said, I'd like the prayer team to come up right now. Move real quick, prayer team. Move real quick. Come right to the front of the altar. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to come right out of your chair. Get bold. Meet me right up here by the tank. I want to pray with you right now. You raise your hand for salvation, come right out of your chair.